Toll tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show. Bill Neal coming to you without co-host Kevin Cameron. He's on a beach somewhere doing what he does. The big money cats do, so we ain't going to worry about him. He's probably all right. But we're joined today by two people that can more than fill it up. And I mean that respectfully. Now, when Mr. B used to fill it up, it wasn't because he wasn't looking for an assist, but generally it wasn't available to him, so he put the ball in the hole. So we're going to talk basketball with Brian Bullard, who wears a variety of different hats. A little basketball, a little skating, a little volleyball. A little music? You got some music skills?
A little bit.
Well, what you do in music?
Started with Ozenam Strings back in the day. Currently, I'm playing with a number of different local musicians.
What do you play?
I play Afro percussion, congas, bongos, timbales, stuff like that.
Now, see, we got to pay you more money.
Well,
we were only going to pay you for being here as a basketball person. Now we got to up the ante. Now I better take that off the table so people don't think you're actually getting paid to be here.
All right.
We ain't got that kind of show. And we're joined by Coach Karen Hall. She of Mount Alvernia High School in the Pittsburgh region and played for the powerhouse UNLV Running Rebels out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're going to talk a whole lot of stuff, but basketball is what's up first. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in basketball, Coach Hall. And as you shake your head, let me go back to Coach B. Brian, give the listeners, and be mindful, we're local and national and some international listeners. So if anybody's looking for you, be careful about what you tell them.
Okay.
But a little background on you, high school, college, and professional career. Just a quick update
okay.
on you.
Okay. High school, the old Swissvale area high school.
Old being the optimum word there.
Yes, when the high school was in town. Varsity, 2 years. Went to Edinburgh State College. Did not make the team, but I was a gym rat. So I probably played more basketball than the guys on the team did. After that, played with the Pennsylvania State Police tournament basketball team. I don't know if you know Paul Epps. Who else played for them?
Donnie Johnson.
Donnie Johnson, good friend.
The guard from Robert Moore's. Name escapes me. Ahmed Sharif, I think, was playing.
Right.
Yeah.
Played for them till I left. Went on to the FBI. They didn't play much basketball down there.
I told you, he got about 9 hats.
Then where I met you is after college. You know, we played on all the playgrounds.
Played everywhere.
And I know your back better than you do.
You know what's amazing about that part of it, and I guess we can all agree, and since the weather just broke here in Pittsburgh, I know you Southerners have been bathing in 80-degree weather for the last couple of weeks, but we just hit a 75 or something today. But, you know, when the weather breaks for real, you could probably go to every basketball court in the city of Pittsburgh and they'll be unoccupied. You'll find everybody still goes to Mellon Park. Mellon Park is still the prime spot. I guess historically, if you think you can play, you got to go there. But, you know, Squirrel Hill, Northside, Oakland, all those courts stay empty all summer long. And you guys can chime in on this. This is a little bit off the beaten path, but I just had a conversation, a little bit of an argument with the AAU coordinator / coach. I think AAU, there's good and bad to it, to be sure, but I think AAU has been a little bit of the problem that we face today with teams loading up all the great talent on one team to go play another team of all great talent, and the less talented kids are just kind of left by the wayside. So you know, when you used to go to a court, you knew that if there was 20 guys there, 10 of them could really hoop, 5 of them could kind of hoop, and 5 of them just want to hoop. But you can't find that anymore. And I think AAU plays a part in that because those young kids, unless they're in a camp or a clinic, are now playing pickup basketball like that.
Well, first of all, AAU is definitely not what it used to be. First of all, it's expensive. So it's really more about the finances than it is about the talent and getting kids exposed to collegiate coaches. coaching, the word coaching has become overrated, because if you have a son or a daughter and you want an AAU team, you could go get a team, and now kids will start calling you coach. So that's a problem. And then
that's a good point, too. That's a real good point.
Thank you.
I mean, because they're not being taught.
They're not being taught. The parents who are coaches, they don't know the intricacies of what coaching is. It's not just putting a bunch of kids out on the court and screaming and yelling and having them think just get the ball in the basket. Mm-hmm. There's so much more in between all of that. But then thirdly, the AAU coaches have taken the high school coaches out of the way. It's such a disgrace that in recruiting, and I won't get too far off, but in recruiting, people are calling on high school coaches instead of the high school coaches about the prospective student athlete. Major problems with AAU. So I'll allow you to continue.
And I'm going to come back, Brian, so you can finish your bio. But along with that, you know, I've written years ago about, does anybody know where all the money to the NCAA is really going? I mean, the NCAA is aside and apart from a university. That's not the same coffers. Those are different coffers. And I used to jokingly say, does anybody know what bank the NCAA is at? So the same point about AAU. When you talk about it being a money-making machine, it has become that. And on a national level, and I'm not, for all you AAU people out there, I'm not talking bad about you, and I'm not downing you, because there's some pluses, there's some major pluses to it in that kids get to play basketball, kids get to travel. Many kids who have never been outside their neighborhood get to go to all different places in the country, but I still think it has that bad side. But we'll come back. All right, Brian, when I asked you about the FBI, Coach Hall's ears perked up, so she may not have known that about that side of you. So what was that all about? And if it's classified, feel free to keep it to yourself.
Okay, I won't say the things that I saw that were top secret, but as far as playing basketball, that was rare in the academy, and even less so once you got out to your post. The FBI, their focus back in the that was the late 80s, was running. My first run was 5 miles in the academy, and then the last run was a 13-mile run, and then they'd break that up with exercises you had to do. And
so it's probably safe to say that there can't be that many black FBI people in the city of Pittsburgh. I mean, that's got to be a limited number, I would assume.
The numbers, but here, what's it, 5 years ago, the head guy here was one of my classmates. And it was so secret that I didn't know he was here till he left.
Cool. All right, so now you got that hat. You got now you state trooper. Stuff you did that for some time, and then you little bit of volleyball, I understand,
right,
that you do just for the heck of it, and then your hoop game, but then now you're a musician.
I've always been a musician.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I would take a break during basketball season when I was in high school, and play with those damn strings. There's a still, some of us still playing. In fact, one of the bands I'm in now, the leader was the drummer before me, because that's how you kind of graduated into the top slots for each instrument.
Yeah.
And another one, we're trying to recruit another one out of retirement. Excellent trumpet player locally.
Well, you know, so given all that, you can leave, because we got everything. No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Stay. Now, that's a whole lot of stuff, man.
Here's one thing I failed to put on my resume. You know, I worked in Allegheny County Juvenile Probation for 14 years. And what I saw was, getting back to your point, Coach, most of the better athletes were in our system.
That's true,
right.
Unfortunately.
We had them.
Yeah, unfortunately, but true, yeah.
And, you know, it's hard. It was hard to have them keep to what their probation rules were and try to get them back into doing stuff that would benefit them. I saw, you know, sports is I don't want to say a way out, but something else to add to their toolbox.
Well, and I can echo that, because for a short time, very few people know that I coached basketball at Newcastle Youth Development Center when it was what's the word for full, complete, lock? What's the word escapes me when it's.
It was a youth development
no,
center.
No, but it was when you can't get out. When it's
right,
not,
it was full lockdown.
Yeah, full lockdown, gated. Barbed wire fence, the whole bit. But I coached a team there that went to several high schools and mopped the floor with them. Slippery Rock High School, went down to Newcastle High School, gave them some work, didn't beat them, but gave them some. So, yeah, you're right. There were some great athletes in these institutions, to be sure.
I don't know if you remember George Junior Republic.
We played
them.
They
won the state title.
Yeah, we played them, yeah.
And they were part of the system. We would send, you know, the kids for placement there, and they would recruit nationwide. I might as well say recruit, because that's what they did. Their kids were from all over the country.
Well, let's jump from there. When we talk nationwide, we can't talk any further west than UNLV, University of Las Vegas, Nevada, Running Rebels, Coach Karen Hall. Coach, give us your bio. I mean, I know you're well known in from east to west, but just for our listeners, and I'm going to ask you this pertinent question, because when people talk about Karen Hall, they immediately say Mount Alvernia, but nobody talks about Mount Alvernia. You know, it's kind of like a given name that we should know, but I can tell you, I don't know a whole lot about that high school. So tell us about that coming up in that system, and then how that got you to UNLV.
Sure. So actually, out of St. Agnes grade school, they would say I was recruited to Mount Alvernia, so I was all set to go to Oakland Catholic. I did 12 years of Catholic school. So I ended up at Mount Alvernia High School, which is a Catholic all-girls school, predominantly white. I was the only black girl in the school, actually the first black girl in the school, and then the first black girl on the basketball team. So I'm a trendsetter and a historian. I'm a trivia question of a Mount. Great Catholic girls school. We're in the basement of a convent. And we're in the section of Millville, Pennsylvania, up on the Red Brick Road Hill. And the academics was what it was all about. I had known that the school's basketball team was really good by the time I got there. They were missing a vital piece, which was called the point guard. So enters Karen Hall. And for four straight years, we were highly successful on the basketball court, academically in school for me. That was great. And for me, the cultural diversity started very early. I'm the only black girl in the school. Diversity wasn't such the buzzword then, but you could always tell the girls who had been told about black people and how we speak and our culture and how we move. So I totally broke down so many barriers, because by the time I left, all the sisters were talking about how all the girls should be like Karen Hall, from studying to my character.
Any trouble, any problems?
Oh, yeah, I had a couple girls that I had to help them understand that, you know, you may be a senior, I may be a freshman, but this is how this is going to work.
And I have no trouble believing that whatsoever. Yeah.
So, and back then, I was not how I am today, so it really came out a bit rougher. But nonetheless, it was a great experience. But from the basketball side, we have a legendary coach, and Coach D. Peruznik. She was legendary before I got there. She actually should be and could be in the girls or women's basketball Hall of Fame down in Tennessee. She chooses not to, because that's how she is. She's extremely humble and gives everything to her players. But so I'll just kind of sum it up. We were extremely successful. My junior and senior year, we were Super 25. We were like top 10 and top 5 USA Today. We won a state championship my junior year, 34-0. I believe we were the first girls basketball team in the state to do so. And I vividly remember my freshman year, we played over CCAC North Catholic, sold out game. They had to move it from one of our gyms to the community college. And I had a person at the door and said, "Hey, Mount Alvernia added color this year." So, you know, how did I handle that? I said, "Well, just come and watch and keep your mouth closed." I was very good then, too, because, different things could have really come out of my mouth that today I know about. I didn't know about those things then. But nonetheless, it was just very interesting that the diversity in which I learned at the age of 13, 14, really prepared me for where I sit today, being the only black girl, being the first coach to ever coach a five-star boys. That was great. And my personality is one that I can handle those situations because I just love basketball. I grew up playing with boys. They roughed me up. They toughed me up as a player. And they really helped the personality develop fully. So I'm really used to being the first. I was the first girl in your league to win back-to-back. And
you were the first woman.
I was a woman by that time.
Correct you on correcting me about that. You were the first woman. But let me go back a second because, and I mean this as a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
To have a team that talented at that time, when high school girls were beginning to learn and master the game on the higher level, must have been some really talented girls.
We were really tough mentally. Talent-wise, we had great chemistry. And then we just, from our high school coach, Deep Ruzic, she totally taught us to go straight for the jugular. So when we crossed the line, it was like blood. So it was take them out early, don't let up, and then after the game, you shake their hand and be humble. So that's how I learned how to play the game. And in terms of being smooth now, like I was rough around the edges, but the summer, my freshman year at Mount Tavernia, you know, they were teaching me how to pull the elbow in, that little 45-degree shot. So a lot of the polish came at Mount. But, yeah, we were quite talented, and we played everyone in the state that year. So coach made the schedule. She said yes to everyone. That way now I can sit here and say we didn't play cream puffs.
So on from there to UNLV, where you were recruited and highly recruited, which means certainly to me and most anyone that knows the game that you probably could have played in any number of places. You chose UNLV, and you were there. When you went there, Armin Gilliam was already a junior?
He was already a junior. So recruiting-wise, I actually came down to University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Whatever.
The University of Las Vegas, Nevada does not exist.
Whatever.
Clarification for all my UNLV Rebels nationwide.
There you go.
Give me a quick red out shout out. Okay. So then.
Tomato, tomato. Come on, Brian.
I was recruited. So my top three were University of Southern California in order, UNLV, University of Missouri, and University of Connecticut. Mind you, University of Connecticut was nowhere near. And actually, I would have ended up playing for Gino Auriemma, who was there from 80. So he was there from 85 on. I'm an 84, 88 college student athlete. So I would have played for him. But I wanted to go west through AAU, which was totally different because you didn't pay. You had the best players on one team out of each state. So you didn't have team A through Z coming out of one state. So we had the best players from all over the state of Pennsylvania. So I was nationally, I had exposure to be recruited. And I narrowed it down to USC, Southern Cal, UNLV, big Magic Johnson fan. So I'll take me all the way west. That way there's no mistaking. I have to see them. So long story short, USC signed a 6'4" post player instead of the 5'4" point guard. That year, I would have had 1 year with Cheryl Miller. I would have one more year. They were coming off of a national championship. So it wasn't to be. So I ended up at UNLV, which was by far, I would go there today. Just like that was one of the best experiences as a person, as a player, as a student athlete, that I could have ever grown into the person that I did from the first day I stepped on campus to the last day that I stepped off as a student athlete.
And while we're in this direction, since we're coast to coast, you want to throw some shout outs to some UNLV out there?
Yeah, shout out to Freddie Banks, shout out to Gary Graham, to Stacey Ogman, Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony, Drill Patio, JB Jarvis Bastnight, Coach Gerg, Klee, Key Star, Melvin Bennett, and all my Lady Rebels, though. Janine and Pauline Jordan, the twins, Pauline came down on a fast break and tried to ram it down one of our games. I was like, glad I was on her team.
Reel it in, Coach. Reel it in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
How well did you know Tark the Shark?
So men's and women's basketball literally was right down the hall from each other. So it was the heydays, the height of both the men's and women's basketball program. So Coach Tark, you didn't see him much. You always seen the assistants. I always hung out with the assistant coaches in their offices. So hi, Coach Tark. So I didn't know him well to where I could hang out in his office, but he was a little busy for me to do so, and so was I. But so I knew him well enough to say hi. His wife knew our team because when we won conference championships, the old flowers came down to the Lady Rebel offices. My teammates and I, we weren't really flower-type women, but we took them.
Well, look, Urban Media Today is what you're listening to. Soul Take Champions Live is the show. We're here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, coming to you live across the country.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio. For the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.